Today is the anniversary of my confirmation. I was 11 years old when that happened, so that means for those of you who are doing the math, that was 48 years ago. Soon seeking a half a century of searching for wisdom as we pray for those gifts of the Spirit. Wisdom is one of my favorite topics. It's actually one of my favorite genres of literature in the Scriptures. And anytime when I was in my graduate program and I had a chance to choose a passage or a book for research or for any of those things, I would usually choose something from the Book of Wisdom because I enjoyed it so much, or the Book of Wisdom, but from the wisdom literature. Okay? Today's first reading is one of those pieces. And I love the wisdom literature because the wisdom literature presumes that whatever we need to know from God, we can find out just by looking. Doesn't require all kinds of study. Doesn't require all kinds of degrees or special skills. But all of the wisdom literature really truly believes and points us to the fact that if we look for God and what God is trying to show us, we're going to be able to see it as God unfolds it for us. Now, this particular book, the Wisdom of the Book of Solomon, they give Solomon's name to it. Why? Because who was the wisest king in all of our history? Solomon. Okay? But Solomon probably lived about 600 years before this particular piece of literature was written. But nonetheless, they put this poetry on Solomon's lips. And that's part of why I love the genre, is because it uses allegory and it uses story and it uses images. And as Solomon envisions Lady Wisdom, or the writer in Solomon's voice is envisioning wisdom, he's imagining a beautiful woman. He's imagining a beautiful woman, the woman that everybody either wants to be or wants to be near. This is the one that this particular author writes about. He says, the wisdom of God is not someone who hides from us. No, the wisdom of God appears wherever we seek her. And this is the passage we get today. She is readily perceived by those who love her and found by those who seek her. She hastens to make herself known in anticipation of their desire. Whoever watches for her at dawn shall not be disappointed, for he shall see her sitting by his gate. So in other words, wisdom isn't something we have to chase after. Wisdom is just something we need to open our eyes, because wisdom actually chases after us. She makes her own rounds, seeking those worthy of her. And she graciously appears to them in the ways and meets them with all solicitude. That's how our God sends us his messages. That's how our God sends us wisdom. Not that we have to go searching for it, not that we have to go hunting for it, not that we have to go deciphering it, but if we'll just open our eyes, we will see God's wisdom right there in front of us where we look. Everybody's been asking me this week what I was going to say post-election. And I had to laugh because I said, well, I'm going to say pretty much the same thing I said pre-election. I don't know that any of that's going to change. I do think that our election shows us that we are very divided. And anybody that thinks that they've got all the answers, or anybody that thinks that it is, just a slam dunk or an easy thing in the days and the weeks and the months ahead, is foolish. It's going to be difficult to bring our country together. It's going to be difficult for us to move forward together. But we didn't descend into anarchy. We didn't descend into chaos. We did not erupt in civil war. Glory be to God. But wisdom is still showing her face to us. Because what all of us need to remember is The same way that this literature was written, it was written by our people who didn't like who was in charge. First the Greeks and now the Romans. This wisdom literature was written to say to them, you with all your mighty philosophy and all your learning and all those things, just keep your eyes on our God. And you'll know where true wisdom lies. That's what it's designed to say. In another part later on in the book, I love it, because it says to all the rulers, and you who are in charge, just remember you wouldn't be in charge if God had not said that it should happen. Now, you may not like that theology, but it was the theology of our forebears. That nothing came to be without God's permission. The Romans would have been really surprised to find out that it was our God who put them in charge. But that was the way that our ancestors thought, that nothing would happen without God's permission. I don't know if you like that theology or not. All I'm saying is that we've got to keep our wisdom fixed in God, not in a political party, not in a particular candidate. Our wisdom has to be fixed upon God. And our job, no matter who we've elected now, is to make sure that the kingdom comes to be more of a reality for our God, because you and I are in God's kingdom. That's our challenge. Really, if you ask me, the hard work begins now that the election's over. Because we still have to move the country more toward what we think is God's will for us. And that's difficult to do in a rancorous climate. In a climate where people don't want to cooperate with each other. When they'd rather not cooperate with each other than make something better for everyone. That's a problem. And our work is just getting started, if you ask me. It's not over. It's just getting started, as it does in every day and age. And again, you can either take comfort in the other passages or just roll your eyes, but it's been the same in every age. It's been the same in every age. The Thessalonians, the second reading was to. They're all flustered and about ready to come apart at the seams because, oh my gosh, we thought Jesus was coming back right away and he's not coming, he's delaying. And so what does all that mean, and what is it going to mean for all of us? Because some of the people who believed him are now dying, and what is that going to happen? And Paul just has to come along and say, breathe. Breathe. Because we're all going to get caught up in it together. Is that any different in our day and age than at the time that Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica? Or look at Jesus' parable in the gospel today. The 10 bridesmaids, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Which do you want to be? Do you want to be prepared? Or do you want to be unprepared and locked on the outside when the time comes? The bottom line is, Lady Wisdom continues to speak to us. She comes searching after us. She appears wherever it is we look. But do we open our eyes?